everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing this program on the other side of the glass. Tom, I think we've got a very, very good-looking weekend here. Driving into the station today, 75 degrees, no wind. I love it. Boy, I could use this all year round. But as you said yesterday, if we had this weather all year round, it would be called the West Coast.
Well, yeah, we're not going to have much in the way of wind, but the temps are going to go up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for near 90 tomorrow and mid-90s Monday through Thursday of next week.
Yeah, that's getting kind of close there when you get into the mid-90s to that the old century mark. But hopefully we can push that off for a while. It's Buckmaster. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It is Good Friday, April 15th, 2022. And for our Jewish friends, we wish everyone a happy Passover. Our radio station is 1030 KVOI, the voice for Tucson's trusted source for news and talk. We're now in our 12th year with the Buckmaster Radio Show, 34th year on TV and radio in town, and we have our worldwide live listening. All of our podcasts are available. Usually we get them up by 3 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the complete program at buckmastershow.com. Also, we want to do a shout out to Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. They sponsor when we have our telephone interviews and our live line today, where we will be totally in studio, except for Weekend Watch. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you to Dylan Smith, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun. Thanks to Dan Shear, Jim Ninsel at the Tucson Weekly. Thanks, Jim, for you and your team at Tucson Local Media, which have the weekly Inside Tucson Business, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interviews today, we are featuring two Arizona State representatives from Southern Arizona. Andres Cano is with us. Andres, how are you?
Thank you, Bill. I'm so honored to be here with you. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you very much. Andres is in his second two-year term from Legislative District Number 3. Representative Cano is seeking re-election in the new Legislative District Number 20. And Andres, I still need to get used to these. I need to put a map up, I guess, by my bed and try to memorize these new districts.
Yeah, you and I both.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Also with us, Morgan Abraham, a return visit to the show. We had him on telephonically at the start of the session because he is a freshman state representative in District 10. He was appointed last fall to fill the vacancy left by Stephanie Stahl Hamilton. Stephanie was appointed to the Senate when Kirsten Engel resigned to run for Congress. Representative Abraham is running for state Senate from the new Legislative District Number 18. Both Andres and Morgan are Democrats, and joining us in our conversation, we have three live mics here with me in studio. It's great to have Kurt Prendergast with us, opinion page editor for the Arizona Daily Star. Kurt, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's good to have you on. We had you on initially after you had just started in the job, so you've got about 6 months under your belt. It's a hectic position, but we will talk one-on-one more with you as we get going, because I know you want to hear from candidates, correct?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Morgan, as the freshman lawmaker, what are some of your thoughts?
Oh, man. Well, I'm new to the body.
Drinking from a fire hose is exactly what
I was going to say. So I'm a business guy. I'm a military guy. I'm used to structure and methodical planning, and there is none of that here. This is every day we wake up, we're not quite sure what we're voting on or what's going to happen, but you know, you react and you do your best. And so it's been fascinating seeing it up close. I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Does it always have to be that way, Andres, just free fall legislative making, lawmaking?
You know, I don't think so, Bill. And I just first want to say I am so impressed with Representative Abraham's leadership. We've known each other for over a decade, and Southern Arizona is lucky to have him representing our shared values. The legislature continues to be this enigmatic place and a place of division and fear, and it doesn't have to be that way, Bill. I think ultimately Arizonans are sick and tired of a government working against them, and we always say in the minority, we're willing to negotiate, we're willing to be at the table, but you know, the other side that's currently in control of both the House and Senate and the governorship believes that they're going to do business only within their majority, right? It's the that's how they see the world, and it's a sad reality for Arizonans, because I think we've elected a near even split legislature because I think we're tired of one-party rule in our state. And so room for improvement always.
And, you know, it doesn't always have to be this way, because I can remember back in the day, 10, 15 years ago, lawmakers from both sides of the aisle would get together and they would craft a budget together. It wasn't always the way one party maybe wanted it, but there was the two voices at the table.
I wish that we had those days, Bill. We don't anymore. And you know, we're about to enter day 100 of the legislature on Tuesday. And I think Arizonans are still looking for solutions. We've got our schools that need adequate funding. We've got a housing crisis that is out of control. People need help. We need to dispatch that kind of support. And I think as the budget starts to make its way to the House floor and the Senate floor, I think we're ready to have a full conversation about what it means for our legislature to deliver on the hopes and promises of everyday Arizonans.
Here's Kurt Prendergast from the Arizona Daily Star. Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, you know, one question I'd have is, you know, the Republicans control the legislature right now. If you all, if the Democrats were in control, what would the budget look like?
I love that question. We do discuss this quite a bit. I think the first answer is investment in the problems that exist in our state. Education, we need more investment there. Housing, as Representative Cano said, we need more investment in housing. People are hurting right now. Rents are skyrocketing. Housing prices are skyrocketing. Healthcare is another area where you'd see Democrats invest. And I think that's the biggest difference between our priorities and the Republican priorities, is we really believe in the power of government investing in the problems of society. And we're seeing the other party kind of prioritize not investing and just continuing to cut taxes. So for me, that's the obvious difference in where we would take this budget if we were in charge.
Andres?
Well, we've got a $5 billion surplus, and that is taxpayer dollars sitting in a coffer where I think Arizonans are asking not for the Ducey tax cuts, which, by the way, for the average Arizonan, only equates to about $30 per year, right? I'd rather us have a conversation about what we're going to do to support our economy. For instance, supporting Pima Community College. Bill, you and I have talked about how we have gutted our support financially as a state to Pima Community College.
That's
since
a
2015.
Real shame. It's a big shame.
It's a huge shame, right? The Housing Trust Fund. Our Democratic budget has consistently had the Housing Trust Fund, which would help with this crisis we're in, to fully fund it to its highest amount, which is about $30 million. Last year, we got zero, even with a surplus. And so it really begs the question of what are our priorities? And how are we going to focus on the things that bring us together? And I think more often than not, there's a trend happening. Call it primary problems, right? Most of you asked Bill why we've got some such polarization. It's because we elect the radical of the radical on both sides, I think, in the primaries. And that's who you send to your legislature. And
that's a very good point about the primaries.
Yeah, and they're coming
up. It's like, who has the loudest voice on the extreme is the one that seems to win in the primary. I mean, that's a big generalization, I know, but the primary may be part of the problem.
Yeah.
let's go to our live line. Gentlemen, I'll slip your headsets on so we can hear our caller, and I believe we have Matt with us. Matt, how are you?
Oh, very good. It's a beautiful day here in Tucson, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take advantage of it before the summer.
Oh, yeah.
Real quickly, gentlemen, first of all, thank you for your service to the state. It's a hard job. You know, my mantra for you all in the legislature, whatever party you belong to, is do no harm. And as you see with Florida and with Georgia, with the issues that they're dealing with, that, you know, bring about national recalls and national boycotts and things like that, What right now is a do no harm issues that you're concerned about with this legislative season that we need to be worried about? And finally, you know, I hope that you guys can work with the governor to, you know, forestall any significant, you know, wasting of you know, save Arizona's budget. Democrats don't spend too much. Republicans don't give away all our money. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Gentlemen, go ahead. Andres or Morgan? Morgan, want to go first, and then we'll hear from Andres.
I so appreciate the question. The do-no-harm mentality is definitely something I try to think about a lot on the floor. And so we certainly see these national, you know, dividing issues, these issues that are meant to divide us as a society that are bringing up at the legislature when we should be talking about issues that matter at a statewide level, like education and like housing. But for some reason, we're stuck talking about, you know, critical race theory or, you know, trans sports, right? These aren't issues that help our people. They're not issues that make people's lives better, but they're issues that come from a national kind of rhetoric that's meant to divide us. And so it's really frustrating as someone in the minority party and also someone that, you know, is really here to try to make life better for Arizonans that we spend so much of our day focused on these issues when there's so many problems to solve in our society.
And I appreciate the question, Matt. Thank you so much. I hope you're doing well and that your family's doing well. I couldn't agree more with Representative Abraham. I mean, when Arizonans are reading the headlines of what's happening at the Capitol, we're really having to ask ourselves where's the problem? Because I think more often than not, we're passing laws that are based on fear. They're based on perhaps very core principle beliefs, but in many ways, we've seen the majority in Arizona really go to the extremism with, lo and behold, government overreach, right? When we're telling pregnant people what they can and cannot access in terms of healthcare delivery, right? The 15-week abortion ban that we voted on last week, the bill attacking our LGBTQ kids, right? Let kids be kids is the mantra, right? And, you know, the majority on that particular issue, the trans ban bill focused on an unfair competitive advantage, right? They were referring to NCAA sports, right? We're talking about like 5 and 6 year olds who really are the most precious, loving things that we ought to be supporting. And you know, I think that what Matt was asking, national trickling down into state politics, it's happening. And I think it's because we refuse to acknowledge that our elections were safe and secure in 2020. Even Governor Ducey signed on to that belief because it is rooted in fact. And there's no limit anymore to what's true or not true.
Let's try to work another call in here before we talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, where everybody agrees when they go to Mona's that it's the best bakery in town. Carl would like to make a comment. Hey, Carl, how are you?
I'm doing fine. And something that a lot of people seem to forget about the budget, including our elected officials, is that about half of it is mandated as to what it has to go to, both by federal and Arizona state law. And so that leaves you about half of the budget that you've got that's discretionary. And so what do you do with it? Do you cut mine safety? Do you cut the Department of Public Safety? Cut education? What about road maintenance and all the rest of that stuff? And so there really isn't all of that money to split up that people keep talking about. And so hard decisions have to be made. I mean, you've got to spend money on elections. You've got to spend money on legislative salaries. And so, you know, this is something that a lot of people just don't understand or don't think about.
All right.
So what are your solutions?
Well, thank you, Carl. I think it is a valid point that there are these mandates, right, gentlemen, Andres and Morgan?
That's correct. So when we talk about the budget, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, there are a good chunk of the budget that's already set in stone. But when we talk about the budget and our priorities, we're typically talking about the general fund,
right,
which is the component that is not set in stone. It's the priorities of that legislature. And you mentioned cutting quite a bit. In that general fund, right now, we have $1.5 billion in ongoing revenues, according to the JLBC. That is a massive amount of money that we can be investing in. We also have $5 billion in one-time money. Again, a massive amount of money that we could invest in. And so the idea that we don't have money to invest in the things that make our society amazing is not true. And it's this is coming straight from the bipartisan JLBC. So again, our priorities as Democrats are invest in the areas of government that make people's lives better. And that's what we want to do.
Andre, so am I hearing that there, Morgan was saying $5 billion in one-time discretionary funds, and did you say $1.5 billion that could come out of the budget?
That's correct, and we've got an economy right now that is strong. I do have to preface it, Bill, that with folks in my district includes downtown, the west side, the south side. The state's bank account may be fine, but we've got to provide support to the industries that need our help so that we can have a shared economy that works, right? And Carl asked specifically about budgets. I agree, budgets should be a priority and a statement of our values. And I think right now, the teacher shortage that we're facing is problematic. Not only because we're short staff, but because we're literally degrading our public school teachers left and right, in my opinion. And why would they want to be in a profession where they have to work two or three jobs to make ends meet, right? And I think, you know, it's a sad day in Arizona that we spend more money sending people to prison annually on the Department of Corrections than on our three state universities combined. Universities are fourth in line right after the Department of Corrections. I want to shift that around. I want us to talk about the low-level offenders, most of them substance abusers, who need treatment and intervention, not a detention cell to be the solution to their issues. And, you know, $5,000 to $6,000 is what we spend in K-12. We spend $30,000 on an inmate. That, I think, ought to be a starting point for a budget priority discussion.
Do either of you know what percentage of our prison beds are run by private operators?
I don't have that exact amount. Mm-hmm. My guess at this point is that it's probably 30% private prisons.
Okay. But it is a big business, right?
It's emerging, yeah. I mean, we guarantee contracts to the private prison industries based on how many numbers of beds they're going to need into the future. We forecast prison beds. That's nonsense. It's crazy.
All right, let's take a break right here. Mona's Danish Bakery. Andres and Morgan, our favorite bakery is Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Kurt, have you been up there yet?
Oh, no, I have not, unfortunately.
Well, you need to. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, which is a light and very flaky pastry. But again, my favorite up there at Mona's right now, the bear claws. Morgan, could you go for a pastry right now?
I could go for a pastry, and it's in my district, so mm-hmm. happy to support it.
Yes, support Mona's Danish Bakery. Open for breakfast, 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Sunday. Andres, what would you go for right now at Mona's? What are you thinking about, a chocolate croissant or what?
I think a chocolate croissant and a coffee with two sweetened loaves. That's my go-to.
Well, they could accommodate that for sure. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. We'll be back with our two lawmakers and Kurt Prendergast from the Arizona Daily Star after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday focus interview today, we've got two focus interviews. Morgan Abraham, freshman lawmaker, is with us, state representative, and Andres Cano, who is in his second term as a state representative. Kurt Prendergast is with us from the Arizona Daily Star. Kurt has been the opinion page editor now for about 6 months, and he is up to the plate first with the questioning for our lawmakers.
Thanks. I'd like to continue with what we were talking about before the break a little bit with this big budget surplus coming up. And you mentioned, teachers, the teacher shortage. And I wanted to know, is that where you would put the money? Would you just try to like pump that into raising teacher salaries? Or what would you do with it specifically?
I think at this point, it's a great question. It's what area of K-12 funding should we be focused on? Because we've got years of just chronic underfunding, right? Are we going to fix the lead in the water pipes? Are we going to fix the roofs and AC units that need replacement because we continue to look the other way in terms of funding those basic needs? Regarding teachers, absolutely, we would ensure that they are paid a wage that treats them with the dignity and respect that they deserve because they're taking care of our most precious loved ones, right? And I think there's one bill in particular right now that we were voting, that we will be voting on shortly. It's a bill that would lower the standards in terms of who's teaching our kids. And what I'm hearing from the other side, Rep. Abraham, you might be able to chime in on this, is that this is one attempt to try to get more teachers recruited. And it's like, we're not losing teachers because of skill. We're losing it because of burnout, of chronic underfunding, and we've got the lowest per pupil funding in the nation. That, I think, is what we've got to stay focused on. What do you think, Rep.
Yeah, Aiden? For me, it's all education. I love the reason I'm in politics, and what I love about Arizona is the economic opportunity of our state. My parents came here very pointedly because my mom's a teacher, my dad was an immigrant, and because Arizona was the place where you can grow and build a family. Part of that reason was education. When I was going to school, the per pupil funding, inflation adjusted, was about 60, or today it's 66 cents on the dollar. So our current children are not having the same opportunities I had. And that is a problem. And that is exactly what I want to fix. And so education is the answer for me on the budget. Another problem that Rep. Cano talked about is the teacher shortage. And that, you know, I'm a business guy. Whenever I can't hire enough of, you know, whether it's electricians or plumbers, the answer is not go to the state legislature and lower requirements for electricians and plumbers. The answer is spend more money on electricians and plumbers. And so it's wild to me that instead of paying teachers more in the state, we would try at the legislature to reduce the requirements for teachers, which harms our students. So again, it all comes back to money, and our priorities as Democrats are education.
Kurt, do you have a follow-up to that?
Well, it's kind of a budget question. In Texas right now, and for the last couple of years, the state officials in Texas have spent quite a bit of money on the border, right? And here in Arizona, we have talk of an invasion, which I think is crazy. You also have $700 million supposedly, you know, moving towards a border wall. And I wanted to know, what would you as Democrats, what would you want the state to do with regard to the border? Are there things, there's steps the state can take that would actually be constructive, or should the state stay completely out of it? What do you think?
So I love this question. Being an Army Reserve officer, it's the National Guard that we send a lot of times to the border. My friends, my colleagues, my fellow soldiers have done that in Texas and are starting to do that in Arizona. So first I'll start off by saying the border is an issue and we need to solve that. These small communities such as Yuma and Nogales, it's not fair to them to bear the brunt of our nation's immigration issues, and we need to do something. The problem where you lose me is when you start appropriating state funding and Army National Guard soldiers who are trained to go to combat, not to protect a border, to do that. They are useless on a border situation. They are not meant for law enforcement. They cannot detain. They cannot help in any way. They are truly there for show. And so again, as a reserve officer, it's terrible to see. It's going to hurt our recruitment going forward. It's going to impact our soldiers' morale, and it's going to impact national security. So Arizona is not the answer to the border situation. I fully believe we have a problem. I want to see the federal government do more, but the answer is not throw soldiers who are trained in combat to the border to do absolutely nothing.
That's Morgan Abraham, freshman state representative from District 10. Andres Cano also is with us, second term as a state representative from District Number 3. Representative Cano, is there bipartisan support for this $1 billion plan that the governor is pushing when it comes to water sustainability that might even include desalinization? What's the feeling at the legislature on the water sustainability issue, which is getting it's almost getting more critical by the day with Lake Powell in that situation, that the federal government has said that, hey, if Lake Powell goes any lower, it will be a utility situation because it supplies electricity to a lot of the Southwest.
Thanks for the question, Bill. It's a very timely conversation about the governor's proposed $1 billion investment in a financing authority, the water authority, that would help offer some relief, because you're absolutely right. All an Arizonan has to do is look at the newspaper, read the news, look at the phone to figure out that we are in a water crisis, and it's going to require huge investments. Both Representative Abraham and I are engaged in conversations with both the governor and the majority. It's bipartisan discussions about how we make this proposal better. I will say that the concerns that I have right now is that if we get to a desalination prospect, it is years down the line.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
been told 2 decades at this
yeah.
point, right? And so
it's way down the pipeline.
Yeah, and we've got environmental things that we've got to work on. We've got to figure out where the infrastructure is going to be. You know, and I think ultimately I cannot possibly endorse this concept until we talk about the short term. 80% of our water in Arizona is used by agriculture. Let's look at ways to incentivize crops and what we can do to make water usage smarter for our largest users, right? And I think that it's a travesty that we're still out in the Wild West where we don't even know what kind of water resources we have because we've refused to meter our water, while other conservative states, by the way, have taken this step because it's the right thing to do, right? If we don't have water coming out of that faucet, we're going to be in a huge problem in some communities, especially in rural Arizona, Mojave, La Paz, schools, you know, the Navajo Nation. Over the pandemic, no infrastructure, no access to that kind of clean water that we all deserve. And so I will say, long response, I'm taking it with a grain of salt right now because I think we've got to do this in a smart way. And I'm optimistic that we'll get to a good compromise.
Well, Morgan Abraham, personally, I think this is an emergency. I think this is a water emergency. It is a sustainability issue. We are in a 1,200-year drought here. This is of historic proportions. Yeah, sure, water desalinization somewhere and maybe in a couple of decades. This is an emergency that the lawmakers need to be addressing what to do right now.
Could not agree with you more. This is an absolute emergency. It is one of the things that keeps me up at night is what these next 10 years look like in Arizona. But to kind of build off of Representative Cano's point, I'm a business guy. One of my jobs in my business is allocation of capital. And when I do that, I look for what is the best bang for my buck for every dollar I spend on my business. And that's one way I like to look at government, is we have limited resources and what is the best investment we can make to solve a problem. And when you're talking about water, there's no question conservation gets a better bang for your buck than augmentation. So desal sounds amazing and it is really fun to read about in the paper, but it is really expensive and time consuming. And we can take those same resources and put them to conservation projects and get a much better return on that investment. And that's something I think you see our party say a lot. Maybe yes to desal, but also a big yes to conservation projects, because that's where the real return is on water.
You are a developer, right?
I sure am.
So, I mean, it must be keeping you up at night as a developer. How are we going to sustain this area without water?
So first of all,
future projects and all of our projects down the road.
I will give a shout out to the city of Tucson because they are one of the best water managers in the entire world. Mm-hmm. The Tucson region
is... Tim Tomier with us in the seat you're in a week ago as our Friday Focus interview. Tim's a world-class expert in water.
Mm-hmm. And what they have done over the past 40 years to prepare us for this moment has been incredible. And so as a Tucson resident, as a Pima County resident, we are doing much better than the rest of the state. But that doesn't mean that there's not a problem. And there is a problem, and we really need to solve it because we need to continue to sustain this wonderful lifestyle that we've built. But when we're talking about this problem over the next 5 years, the time to act is now, and we need to invest in projects that have immediate returns. And again, that means conservation and probably not desal in the short term to solve these problems. When you hear the Democrats, and Rep. Cano is a huge advocate of conservation, talk about that, it's not just because we prefer conservation projects, it's because economically and for a time period, they're better. They work better, they're cheaper, and they have results faster.
Kurt, we're quickly running out of time, but I have a time for you to make another question.
Well, following up on the water there a little bit, agriculture uses a whole lot of water in Arizona. Are there things, there are little projects, ideas, innovations that you've heard of that could help out with that problem?
It's going to be a part of the budget negotiations for sure. There's technology, lots of different technologies that exist that can make efficiency really go far. And I think it's one part of the solution. I mean, I wish that, you know, we wouldn't just give private entities a subsidy and without asking them to actually cut back the water usage, right? The last thing I want is for them to save all this water and then go build 10 more fields. And we're back to the same issue of using the same amount of water in the time of crisis. And so there's lots of things, right? I think ultimately we've got to come together on water policy. Unfortunately, there's been very little political will to hear some of these conservation efforts and the bills. I mean, we file them every single year. We've been really ringing the alarm for many, many years now. Unfortunately, my colleague on the Natural Resources Committee, Chairman Griffin, has refused to do this. And, you know, communities like hers are also facing the brunt of this in Cochise County, where you've got people petitioning amongst themselves to be able to create what are called rural management areas that will allow them to start setting the path mm-hmm. for true smart water conservation. And I just think it's so terribly upsetting that citizens have to do that instead of us leading at the Capitol on policy that ultimately is going to affect every single person. And so, yes, we will. I think water is going to continue to be a top priority. We're actively engaged in those conversations. We owe it to the people of Arizona to take this seriously.
So in the end, with this budget negotiation, I hope there will be a negotiation involving both sides. Could you see something like giving Republicans some kind of a tax cut, which they always want, and that's always part of the plan with the budget, and then getting some of these other things like what you're just talking about for education and water conservation? Is that kind of what we're thinking here or what? And we're quickly running out of time.
I'd say we're open for ideas. We are not involved in the budget negotiations until they're on the board, right? The legislation's on the board. And I think there are some in the majority that think that our schools are adequately funded. And for me, if they're not willing to, if we have to budge on tax cuts and give that to them, we need something for our schools because they're just in an alternate reality that I refuse to accept if we're going to talk serious money moving forward.
And the budget and all of the funding for the state of Arizona, Morgan, ends at midnight as the clock turns the end of June. And in years past, the clock has stopped. And last year was the first year in many years that it went down to the end. And I don't know, here we are 100 days into the session and really no real firm budget yet. I'm kind of guessing this thing's going to go into the heat of the summer.
That seems to be the sentiment at the Capitol. I mean, I've had conversations with plenty of members of the majority of the Republican Party, and they are not optimistic about doing this fast and quickly. So, but again, I mean, the stance that, you know, the Democrats, the minority party is we are open to talking. You know, this is a 50-50 state. There's 31 members of the House that are Republican, 29 Democrats. I mean, this is a purple state. Mm-hmm. And so we should have a purple budget. And a purple budget means, you know, members of both parties kind of signing on. So we're here. They have our phone number. They know where to find us when they're ready to start negotiating. And we would love nothing more to have earnest discussions to try to solve the problems of Arizonans.
All right, Representative Morgan Abraham, Representative Andres Cano, the final word from you, Andres.
Bill, thank you for the opportunity. I'm ecstatic to continue serving the people of Southern Arizona. And more than anything, I know that keeping folks informed is our priority. That's why we say yes to these invitations. Kurt, thank you. And Bill, for always having these conversations. I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you very much. All right, Kurt Prendergast from The Star sticks around. I've got a couple of things I want to talk with Kurt about. We'll let our lawmakers go. We'll take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Friday in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app,
You can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Representatives Andres Cano and Representative Morgan Abraham for our Friday Focus interview. Sticking around to chat with me for a few minutes, Kurt Prendergast of the Arizona Daily Star opinion page editor. Hey, Kurt, you've been putting something out, kind of a call to folks and candidates that are running in the upcoming 2022 election. You would like to hear from them. What's that all about?
Well, one of the things that I've noticed in the opinion pages is there's a great deal of value in having, legislators, candidates, talking directly to the public via the opinion pages. And we also, on the flip side of that, is we have voters who are writing guest opinions. We have a lot of people who are very, very in tune with specific issues, whether that's transportation or some other issue. And what I would like to do is I would like to invite candidates to submit guest opinions. And I'm not looking for, here's why you should vote for me. But just, are there issues that you think are very important, whether that's, we talked about desalination,
sure,
for example. So if you would like to, pick an issue that you think is really important and make your case to the public about, why you think the solution you propose is the correct solution, I would very much welcome that. I think it would really enrich our pages. And then for the voters is, you're already, I'd say directly to our readers, you're doing a great job, putting forth issues that you think are important. And I just really want to encourage you to keep doing that, whether that's in a shorter letter to the editor or a longer form guest opinion. But just lay out, what do you think that candidates should be talking about? What are the important things that the state legislature or the governor or Congress, what should they be focusing on? You can kind of set the agenda a little bit. What should they talk about? What do you want to hear from them?
What are you going to do as far as your candidate interviews, the editorial board? What are you thinking for endorsements?
I mean, we're still working out exactly how to do that.
Because things have changed over the years. I mean, it used to be pretty much every race, the star would, they'd have the candidates would all come in. And that's kind of evolved, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not really focusing on every race anymore.
We just can't do
it.
And that's one thing I would love to hear from the readers as well is, when we are going through our process, are you more interested in hearing us about the governor, or are you more interested in hearing from us about a justice of the peace race or
a congressional race?
It's kind of what I would really love is for us to be able to help when you are looking at your ballot. Most people vote early, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's sitting on your kitchen table.
Yeah.
If there's some way that we can help you better understand that ballot, like who are these names that you're seeing there, rather than you Google searching, all these different candidates, it's very overwhelming. Myself, when I go into the booth, it's just there's so many choices. So I would like for us in some way to be able to help guide the voter through that.
And now the philosophy and the protocol for letters to the editor.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Generally, you're looking for just about any subject with letters to the editor.
And
but if it's a candidate, you don't want to really have that as the space to have them make a pitch, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And I think that for candidates, if they're going to put forth an idea and a solution, they're going to need much more space than a letter to the editor.
Okay.
So we want letters to the editor to be, you know, readers, voters, residents, you know, putting their 2 cents into the conversation.
Are you trying to publish all of the letters online, or how is that working? What actually gets in the paper, the hard copy, or online?
Yeah, I think the vast majority of them are going to go online. As long as if they meet our standards, they'll go online. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we don't have the space to run every single letter in print. Mm-hmm. So a smaller amount goes into print.
What's the hot letter to the editor these days?
Well, I was just thinking about that.
When we had you on 6 months ago, if you had first started, it was people not wearing masks to the University of Arizona basketball game. So what's the hot letter now to the editor?
Well, it's been an interesting evolution. We had Senator Sinema. Mm-hmm. What just dominated the letters to the editor for a while. The January 6th anniversary, that also dominated for a while. The Supreme Court nomination has been one of the most popular ones lately, with the dominant voice being that she was mistreated by the Republican senators during the hearings, and we want all the best for her. She's highly qualified. That's been the number one thing lately.
And to reach you, the best way is through email?
Yeah, but email, and if you want to submit a letter to the editor or a guest opinion, it's tucson.com/opinion, and that'll have all the instructions there to how to submit.
And we will look for your work as a columnist, too. You've been so busy getting your feet wet, kind of learning the ins and outs, and it's so much with the placement of where stuff goes in the opinion page. And I know you like to write.
I love to write.
That's why you're on work for a newspaper. You like to write, but you just haven't had the time. You're looking for the time.
It is climbing a mountain every week to get to the point where I can write. But I definitely want to prioritize it. And I think the last 5 weeks, I have had 5 columns, right, that have been like topical. And then they just run out of time before I can run them. I've accomplished it one time, I believe.
Well, we'll look for it. Hopefully it's right around the corner. Kurt Prendergast, thank you very much from the Arizona Daily Star opinion page editor. Good to see you again, Kurt.
You too. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Matt Russell's next with Weekend Watch on Buckmaster on a Friday.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
And here we go with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Take the three-hour drive east of Tucson. You will not regret it, to the beautiful area of Southwest New Mexico. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org, the place to go before you take that drive, so you'll find out about all the great outdoor recreation activities and some swell places to stay and some really nice places to dine as well in historic Silver City. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great on this Good Friday, Bill. I hope you are, too.
Doing real well. Such an important religious weekend for Christians and Jews. We want to wish our Jewish friends a happy Passover. And on Sunday, I hope it's a joyous Easter for everybody. What do we have going this weekend, Matt?
Well, you know, I think it's great to sort of start our seasonal celebrations later today at the newest property, Bill, to open downtown. It's the Citizen Hotel, 82 South Stone Avenue. It's in the historic building that was home to our old afternoon newspaper, the Tucson Citizen, over 100 years ago.
Wow.
Now, their lobby bar is really the perfect venue for meeting friends over some wine today. And in fact, wine plays a central role in the story of the new hotel, with Arizona's own San Reckoner Vineyards occupying cellar space in their volcanic rock basement. It's being called Arizona's only wine hotel, and that's intriguing enough for me to put it on my weekend calendar.
Roadrunner Hockey.
Yeah, the Tucson Roadrunners, they're going to be hosting their return of the Hockey and Hops Beer Festival right before they hit the ice tomorrow. The fun begins at 4 o'clock with 14 local and regional brewers pouring their absolute best in a pop-up beer garden just outside the TCC. Your $50 ticket will get you access to the garden, 12 drink tickets, a commemorative shot glass. But here's the bonus, Bill. You also get a ticket to that evening's game where the Roadrunners are expected to roll all over the Colorado Eagles. Reservations are being accepted now. TucsonRoadrunners.com.
Easter brunch recommendation, please.
Yeah, you know, there's too many to mention on Weekend Watch, but what they're doing at West and La Paloma this year sounds intriguing. Several stations, chilled seafood, a carving station with ham, lamb, and prime rib, savory dishes, too many desserts to mention. Number to call, 742-6000 for reservations, but you better hurry. This is bound to be a sellout, Bill.
Joyous Easter to you, my friend. Thank you.
Right back to you, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. Wholly responsible for the content of our program, original theme music by Christophon. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Thanks, Rose, for getting those podcasts up in a very timely fashion. Everyone here at KVOI, including my buddy, engineer and producer, Tom Fairbanks, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, such great hosts for
the Buckmaster Show. Have a joyous Easter and Passover weekend, everybody.